And I'm telling you, if you had somebody a little better to play with you, I'm telling you. I don't know if you can.
I'll do what I can. I'll do what I can.
Back in my day, I'm old enough now to say that, and some of you think I'm a kid. Back in my day, dating, I had to pick up the tab in my day. Isn't that awful? Wasn't that way in your day, was it? That's right, that's right. Carl came up on a different tab.
I didn't have no money.
Well, I didn't have no money either, but it made no difference. Yes, I was expected to pay for the meal, pay for the movie, or pay for wherever we went to. That's what I grew up with. Now, I tease about that, but I tell you the truth, I still think it's the way it ought to be. I think women are special, and I think you are treated special. I really do. Now, I'm not teasing here, I do. Listen, I had several women in my life. My mother was number one. Now, my mother and I, we like to fight. Believe it or not, you probably don't believe this, but she won a lot of those fights.
For sure.
But my mother could kill me, and she tried twice. But you better not touch me. And to this day, you better not touch me, because she's watching over everything now. So, but then I got married. I went through this dating process. Of course, you know, I had women everywhere. What, are you filming right now?
I am.
I'm going to call and tell Monica to watch it too.
I didn't have very many women in my life at the time, but understand that dating is a process. And when you go through the process, you begin to learn each other. And then as you learn, then you begin to respect. And as you respect, you begin to love. The problem with today's world is no respect no more.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, there's not. You know, I mean, it's all about the physical. It's nothing about the emotional anymore. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Let's tell you from a 60-year-old man. The physical leaves you. But your emotions in your heart never will. The quicker in life you learn that, Monica and I have been married 38 years. I hope I got that right, because I know she'll want it. So some of you have been married a lot longer. Some of you have been married a lot younger. Now, I've only been married once. Some of you have been married several times. We're not here to talk about divorce. That's another sermon down the road. But what we're here to talk about is you need to be choosy about your choices. And when it comes to your relationships, whether it's a dating relationship, a friend relationship, a work relationship, you need to be choosy. Because let me tell you something, the relationships that you choose will either benefit your life or make your life lousy. How's that for some advice? Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, here we go. I think there are six things here that he talks about. Being choosy about your choices. Place God first in every aspect of your life, including dating. He deserves first place in any relationship. If you put Jesus first, whatever that relationship is, it'll be all right. That doesn't put him there as the wrong relationship for you. Any relationship you have with somebody else, if they're not willing to put God first in their life, there are going to be issues. Now, there's even going to be issues when both of you are on the same team. Excuse me. But if you think you got issues and you're on the same team, wait till you're not on the same team and see what kind of issues you got. And it's hard. Now, I know there are people who marry people who are non-Christian, and they're Christian, and their spouses end up coming to the Lord, and they have a good life. But don't have that way all the time. Be careful. Be choosy. Number two, be contented where you are, even if it's not exactly where you want to end up. Some people people, as they get older, get worried about the fact that they've never married. Well, just be content. It's all right. If God means for you to be with somebody, He'll put that person in your path. Don't force it. And Lord knows, don't try to make it happen. Because if God's not in it, it won't work. And we all know everybody's here making mistakes in relationships. I mean, the other ladies that I've dated for Monica, nice ladies, but they wasn't for me. I knew from the moment that I met Monica, she was for me. It didn't take me very long to fall in love with her. Monica, on the other hand, unlike me, was a very attractive girl. She had a lot of guys. And I'm not saying this is a joke, but she had a lot of guys. She met a lot. She was coming very close to making the cheerleading team. She was a looker. I'm not a dummy. She was a looker. And she caught my eye several times. Here's the good thing. Some of them other guys that she didn't have automobiles. I had a car. I had an automobile. Now in Alabama, they don't make no difference. In Kentucky, that makes a lot of difference. Okay? So, I had an automobile. And it was a fairly nice automobile. I wasn't spoiled. No. I mean, this car was 3 years old. It had 30,000 miles on it. I mean, I didn't have a new car. Alright? So but nevertheless, I had a car. And you know where we met? Nope. Well, sort of, but not in church.
Football.
No. In the Good News Club. You know what the Good News Club is? Back in my day, you had clubs for everything. If you made straight A's, you was in a club. Renee and Monica was in those clubs. If you was an athlete and couldn't spell, Carl and I was in that club. But we also had a Good News Club. And everybody who was a Christian and wanted to come and pray before school started, you come to this about 15 minutes before school started. Monica was a Christian and in the Good News Club. I was a Christian in the Good News Club. And that's how we met. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
That's right. That's right. Be choosy about your choices. Okay? And she'd be the first to tell you. Because I went out with girls who weren't Christians. She went out with guys who weren't Christians. Let me tell you something, folks. There's a difference. All right. Number three, if you see in the book, you see where I got the title from. It says what? Be choosy, doesn't it, Renee? Don't settle. Don't think because, I'm not the best looking person in the world, so I guess I can't expect to have somebody that's fairly good looking. I don't make much money, so I shouldn't expect to be with anybody that makes a good living. My family is tore up, so I don't expect to be with a girl that's got a good family. Now, that's how that works. You learn from experience. If your parents wasn't good at being parents, you should learn from it. You really should. And if you come from divorced people, learn from that. That doesn't make divorce bad, like I said, that's a whole other sermon another time. It just means that we have to understand when we go the second or third time, let's make some good choices. Let's be more choosy, because you learn by your what? Mistakes. Mistakes are not bad if you learn from them. Be choosy. Understand. It's better. Now this is biblical. I'm not making fun here. But it's better to be single and to be happy in Jesus than to be married and to be miserable. That's the God's honest truth. So, deep. I know. All right. Now, look at number four. If you want to meet new people, go to where you're likely to bump into the kind of people you want to meet. How many times I've been told, man, I hate it, but I've got to go to the bars. No, you don't. You don't have to go where sin's at to meet the right person, man or female. That's the reason that you're still single, because that's where you chose to go. And I don't care if you walk in there and you don't ever take a drink. You walk in there, you're condoning what they... Now, if you saw me, if Friday night you're out and you see me, you're having to drive by and you see me go in a bar. You see me go in a strip club. Now, I could be going in there to witness, couldn't I? But you're not going to like it, are you? You're going to get on the phone, aren't you? Do you know where that preacher was at? Or if you're close enough to me, you may call me and say, what were you doing Friday night? I could be going in there for the right thing or wrong thing. And you can debate, well, if he's going in there to witness to somebody, let him go. The trouble of it is, folks, when you witness, perception is about 90% of it. It doesn't mean if I go to a bar, and I don't even go to a bar, that I'm going to go to hell. But it means it could ruin my witness. And if I'm a Christian, my witness should be everything to me. Do you see the difference? I'm not going to say that you're going to go to hell. That's not my place to say. And we've got people that have been in bars and have been drunk and been all kinds of places, and now they're saved. And that's their past. That's behind them. But understand this. Be choosy about your choices, because there is a price to pay. One of the best places, in my opinion, to meet a godly person is in church. Now, in a small church like this, I realize that most people in here are married. And a guy told me one time, said, you know, I've been to churches. That's a lot of people who go to church. I said, have you been to Coleman Theater? Quit looking at the outside appearance so much. I realize you have to be attracted to somebody. But I'll tell you right now. Now, I'm an older guy that can say this. I was fortunate. And I was fortunate because my wife was beautiful. But really, she was more pretty on the inside than she was the outside. And she was beautiful on the outside and still is. But I promise you, if I have a choice, if I ever have to make that choice again, it's all about the inside to me. You understand that? It's all about the inside. And that goes for man or woman. Go over the handle. I get ahead of myself. Number five says, look beyond appearances. And you need to. Because I don't care if you're married to the most handsomest man that ever walked or the prettiest woman on 2 feet. If they're mean to you or if they don't have a good heart, I promise you, you'll get out of that relationship as fast as you can. Because it goes beyond that, folks. Who will tell you that's been in marriage a long time, or even those who've been married 2 or 3 times, when they finally found the right one, it wasn't all about the looks at that time. It's all about character. You give me somebody that's got character, that's what I'm after. You understand what I'm saying? You give me somebody that's a Christian who's got some character about them. Believe me, be choosy about your choices. The last thing is trust God. Trust God in every decision that you make. In your lifetime, you're going to make some very big decisions. Big decisions. If you don't trust God in these big decisions, life will not be lived to the fullest. I promise you that.
And it will cost you on many different levels. And I promise you, there are people here that can give up and give you the testimonies about bad choices that were made in their lifetime. And now they've learned from those. But I understand. How do you know to be choosy? You be choosy by making sure you follow Jesus' example. You pray before you make any major decision in life about anything. And let the Lord lead you in your choice. That's what it means to be choosy. Because if you are, that means you're trusting God. If you don't ask God's opinion, it means you don't care about His opinion. Does that make sense? If you leave God out of it and you don't ask Him, then it's just like telling Him, I don't care. Or, I'm smart enough to make it. Oh, listen, I've said that many times. Oh, I'm too smart. I don't need God for that decision. And I've landed on my tail. And it hurts. But thank God it hurts because I remembered something that hurts. And the reason I remember something hurts is because I don't want to do it again. Make sense? When you're choosy about choices in life, it doesn't mean you're going to have a perfect life, but it means you'll have a life where God is blessing it. And I need God's blessing in everything I do. I was telling Ben back there, we were getting emails and phone calls from everywhere about Stephanie. And I get emails and stuff and texts and phone calls and says, we know you've got to be hurting. How are you doing, Brother Roger? How's Miss Monica? And I responded this way. And I told the guys this is true. Last year was a bad year for Matthew. He got up to 330 pounds. His health has fallen apart. But he made a decision to do something about it. He had a very serious surgery. His mother and his sister went to him. I wasn't able to go. Stayed with him for 10 days to get him on his feet. Today he's down 110 pounds. Feels better, looks better than he's ever had in his life. But I have told Sister Ralph and Stephanie, no, oh, but not, because I'm a loving parent. They no parent wants your child to suffer in her life. But all that's happened to her, it's been good. But it could be a lot worse. If we'd have waited a few more months, I might not have my daughter in 6 months. And as much as when I look at her and I see that she's suffering and hurting, she's alive. And when she told me the other day, she said, Dad, I hurt. I said, you know what that means? That means you're alive. It means you're alive. Because when you're alive, you've got a chance. And I told them, I said, you have to concentrate on the good things. Because if you concentrate on what's bad in your life, you'll be one miserable individual.
Amen.
You will. But folks, you've got to concentrate. Thank you, sweetie. What you've got to understand is there are some good things in life no matter what's going on with you. With all that's wrong with me, with all that's been wrong with my kids, and all that is sometimes I look around and I see where we need to have more people here. But here's what I choose to look at. I'm thankful you're here. And I'm thankful that my daughter's alive. I'm thankful my son's alive. I'm thankful that they got a mother that'll be there with those two kids, thick, come high water, thick, thin, whatever it is. And I think down deep they're thankful that they got a dad that has been in a place for 30 years. And to understand this, I've had a lot of opportunities to leave and go other places. But I learned a long time in life, folks. When you go for where it's bigger doesn't necessarily mean that it's better. You give me 20 or 30 people to love me, I'd rather have that than 2 or 3,000 people that can't stand the ground up. That's what I need in life. And really, it's all about being choosy about your choices. But understand, make the choice to praise God. Make the choice to trust God. When you do, you will not be sorry. Give the Lord a hand. Father, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you watch over our church. We miss our folks when they're gone, but Father, we pray they'll be back with us soon. But Father, we need to be choosy about our choices. Whatever that choice that we're trying to make, whether it's to find a mate in life, how to get along with other people, where to go, what to do, or even the choice to accept Jesus Christ. Today, you have that choice. You're watching me being in it today. You have that choice if you're alive. You can be anywhere and invite Jesus into your heart. But Jesus is coming, as Brother Gary said in our special this morning. He's coming again. He's coming soon. He said he's coming. And that means he is coming. Are we ready? Father, bless this congregation and our people. May everything we do be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you come in the name of Jesus?